ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. సహనావవతు సహనౌ భునక్తు సహ వీర్యం కరవావహై తేజస్వినావధీతమస్తు మా విద్విషావహై. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. వి విల్ కంటిన్యూ విత్ అవర్ డిస్కషన్ on the second chapter of Taittiriya Upanishad called Brahmanandavalli. In the last webinar, we started with a brief introduction of the second chapter, and we found out the reason why it is called Brahmanandavalli. It could be called Brahmavalli, Anandavalli, or Brahmanandavalli. And also, after going through a brief meaning of the Shanti Mantra, we entered into the text and recited the very first line, namely, Brahmavid Aapnoti Param. Brahmavid Aapnoti Param Tadesha Abhyukta Tat Yesha Abhyukta. So this sentence, Brahmavid Aapnoti Param, that means the knower of Brahman attains supreme or moksha. So the subject matter was Brahman, the sadhana is knowledge, and the phalam or benefit is paraprapti or moksha. Subsequently, then we raised three questions to understand this statement, Brahmavid Aapnoti Param. And what are those questions? The first question was, Kim Tad Brahma? What is that Brahman? And the second question was, Katam Tasya Vedanam? How to know that Brahman? And the third question was, Kim Tad Paraprapti Palam? What do we mean by attainment of infinite paraprapti? So by way of answering these questions, the Upanishad quoted a Rigveda mantra. It is in quotation, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma Yo Veda Nihitam Guhayam Parame Vyoman So Oshnute Sarvan Kama Ansaha Brahmana Vipaschiteti. And we said Brahmana Vipaschita, up to that is the quotation, and the Iti refers to the ending of that quotation. And we discussed elaborately the meaning of the very first word, Satyam. Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. That is the Brahma Lakshanam, the definition of Brahma. And in that, the first word, Satyam, we went through an elaborate discussion to understand the meaning of Satyam. And at that time we said, the meaning can be a literal meaning called Vachyartha, or it could be an implied meaning called Lakshyartha. And we said that Satyam denotes the existence principle, are called Satta, Kevala Satta. Now we are going to take the next word, Satyam Jnanam, the second word Jnanam. So according to this statement, Brahmavid Aapnoti Param, first statement, the answer to that through the Rigveda quotation, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. So next is Jnanam. Brahman is Jnanam. And here also, we have to go in for both the Vachyartha and the Lakshyartha. And we will find out again that Vachyartha, the literal meaning, does not fit into this, defining the word Jnanam. And we have to go to the implied meaning, namely the Lakshyartha. And now, what is the Vachyartha here? For example, if one says, I have Jnanam, I have knowledge, then the question will be, what knowledge do I have? Is it a knowledge chemistry jnanam? Is it physics knowledge? Is it driving knowledge? What is that knowledge? Therefore, the normal meaning of the word jnanam is always associated with one nama rupa, one object or the other. Always is associated with any one of them. And the object is indicated generally by a thought in the mind. If you see an object table, the table thought rises in the mind, so the object is always indicated by a thought in the mind. So we can say any knowledge, is associated with one thought or the other. Suppose there are no objects at all in front, and there are no thoughts also in the mind. What do we say? We normally say, we have no knowledge, mind is blank. So when there are no thoughts or no objects, we say there is no jnana, no knowledge. And when there are thoughts and objects, we say, I have knowledge or I have jnana. This is the literal meaning. Therefore, we can say that the vachyartham of jnanam is actually vritti jnanam only. The jnanam, knowledge about the thought about that object or about that person, a knowledge associated with one thought or the other. It is only vritti jnanam. Okay. Can we take then this jnanam as Brahman? Here also then the same problem will come. The Upanishad says, as we went through the discussion of Satyam, there also we went through the discussion that Satyam cannot be Anantam there if you take it in the literal sense. And here also the Upanishad says the jnanam again is Anantam. Suppose we take any objective knowledge. For example, a gata jnanam, the knowledge about a pot. Then can we say it is Anantam? It cannot be said it is Anantam because time-wise it cannot be Anantam. It is born sometime, and after some time it may be not there also. It may break, it can go away. So there is some time when the pot was born, what was made. So time-wise also it cannot be Anantam. Then if you take space-wise, that also we know a pot cannot be space-wise also infinite. It cannot be Anantam also. So objective knowledge, it can appear and disappear. Part can be there, part cannot be there. It can appear and disappear, but it cannot be Anantam at all. Because of this simple reason, the vrittis, the thoughts, they also will appear and disappear. So we have to take the lakshyartham, which should be connected with the vachyartha. Because we said in the first class, the rule is what? If you take a lakshyartha, it should be connected with the vachyartha. So the vachyartha is actually the knowledge about the thought. It is vritti jnanam only. And that vritti jnanam, the thought, that has two aspects. One is the thought itself. And the second is the awareness part of that knowledge. So one is the thought vritti. And the second one is the awareness part of the knowledge. Of these two parts, the vritti amsa or the namarupa amsa, namarupa which is limited. The vritti amsa, the thought, which is based on the namarupa part, the name form and functions also perhaps, which is limited. For example, the gata vritti, the knowledge about the part, is as big as the gatam only. As big as the part only, and it cannot be anantam. Whereas the awareness part of it, the Chaitanyam part of it does not have beginning or end. Gata vritti comes, awareness is. Gata vritti goes, then also awareness is. Even if the part thought is gone, still the awareness is. So thoughts come and go, whereas the awareness is constantly present. So even if it is a blank mind, the blankness itself is known because of awareness. If this awareness principle is not there, even the blankness of the thought, the mind cannot be known. So the awareness aspect, the awareness amsha, it is anantam, and it is called in Vedanta the chidamsa, the chit. The awareness is called the chit principle, awareness principle. So varieties of knowledge, they come and they go, but in and through all of them, the underlying awareness, the Chaitanyam, is ever present. So the lakshyartham of jnanam is pure awareness, the chit aspect or amsa, chidamsa. And this chidamsa of every knowledge is anantam. That awareness principle is there always. And so jnanam means here what? Chidamsa alone. It is not the literal meaning vachyartham, it is the chidamsa, that is the lakshyartham. Similarly, as we saw in the case of Sat, Satyam, there also the Satamsa is Anantam. And so Satyam, Jnanam together is Sat and Chit, Sat Chit. So Satyam, Jnanam is Sat Chit. Actually, to establish this only, we had to go through all these discussions. So it is Sat Chit. In Sat Chit Ananda, Sat Chit is the Satyam and Jnana. And the Chidamsa is also present in all domains of time, in the past, in the present, and future. For example, yesterday the awareness was, today it is, and tomorrow it will be. Actually, there is a beautiful Gita shloka where Krishna says, Dehinosmin yada dehe kaumaram yavvanam jara. Kaumaram means what? When I was a child, you know, the kumara avastha. It was there yesterday, but it is gone today because I am grown. But the awareness of that kaumara avastha is there even now. Same thing with yavvanam. Yavvanam is there today. I am a youth today. Tomorrow it will be gone. But the awareness, yes. And jara, old age also will come. Awareness will also be there again. So since Chaitanyam, the awareness is there in all three domains of time, it is Kalataha Anantam. Kalataha means time-wise. It is time-wise Anantam. Similarly, the same Chaitanyam is present not only in me, but also in all living beings, the plant, the animal, the birds, humans, devas. It is present in all living beings. Not only the Chaitanyam is there in all living beings, it is also in between all those beings also. Then what is the difference? The difference is because of our limitation. The Chaitanyam can be experienced or manifested only when it is associated with a thought or vritti. We said thought is vritti. This is known as actually abhivyanjakam. Abhivyanjakam. A thought is abhivyanjakam of chit, chaitanyam. For example, if you take the awareness principle, the thought is abhivyanjakam. Same way, if you take the sat principle, the existence principle, the nama rupa, the name form, that is called, that is the abhivyanjakam of sat. Or sat is, if you take the other way, sat is abhivyanjyam by nama rupa and chit is abhivyanjyam by thought. That is, wherever thought is present, wherever there is a thought present, there chaitanyam will be in manifest condition. So wherever there is a thought, the chaitanyam will be in manifest condition. Wherever thought is not present, there Chaitanyam is not absent. It is in unmanifest condition. That is the important point we should note. The thought that Chaitanyam is not absent there, it is in unmanifest condition. Why? Even in a human being, if you take, if a person is in a coma condition, he is very sick and he is in a condition of coma, and the mind cannot entertain any thought at all, due to some defect, for example, then what do we say? That person is without prajna or awareness. That person is without prajna. He is unconscious because of absence of thought or the mental mode. Because of the absence of thought or mental mode, we say that person is in coma. He is unconscious. He is without prajna. So the consciousness could not manifest in that person. And therefore, I was exactly like an inert object. There was no difference between an inert object and myself when I was in that condition in which consciousness cannot manifest at all. Actually, if we take the deep sleep state, Sushupti state, we are in that condition only. The manifest consciousness is not there. And so we say, what do we say normally when we sleep, very deep sleep? I slept like a log of wood, like an inert matter I slept. That's what I say. There was no prajna portion at all in that consciousness, in that stage. So chit is everywhere. The awareness is everywhere, either in manifest condition or in unmanifest form. Either in manifest form or unmanifest form, it is there everywhere. And so it is space-wise also, it is anantam. So deshataha api, it is anantam. Kalataha also, it is anantam. Deshataha also, space wise also, it is anantam. So what is Brahman now? It is the eternal, all pervading Sat Chit Rupa. Or eternal eternal is an eternal or pervading such it we can translate into existence consciousness. So eternal, all pervading existence consciousness is Brahman. So that is the definition we come into now. Eternal, all pervading existence. So eternal is essentially for kalataha, it is anantam time wise, and all pervading because space wise also it is anantam. Existence consciousness chat satchit, so that is called Brahman. So eternal and all pervading we add to this existence consciousness because to show no limitation by time and space, there is no limitation at all by time and space. So we will take the meaning of now anantam, satyam jnanam anantam. So we have now understood what satyam, we have understood what jnanam means, and now we have to go to what is anantam. I think somebody's speaker is on or something. Please mute that. So we will take up the meaning of anantam now. Free from space-wise and time-wise limitation. So it should not have, when it is free from space-wise and time-wise limitation, you should not have any form also. All forms and rupas, what do they do? Any form, any rupa, they always limit an object. Since no rupa, there can be no nama also, because name is in keeping with the form only. For example, for a male form, we have a male name. If it is a male child, we give a male name. If it is a female child, female form, we give a female name. So nama rupa rahitam is the meaning of deshataha anantam, space wise. Nama rupa rahitam, there is no nama rupa. Similarly, kalataha anantam means, time-wise anantam means, one cannot use any tense, past tense, present tense or future tense cannot be used at all. Actually, they will not have any meaning in Brahman. There is no time-wise description also. It will not have any meaning in Brahman. So it is bhuta, bhavishyat, vartamana, kala, atitam. Bhuta, bhavishyat, vartamana, kala, atitam. Actually, Shankaracharya now talks about yet another type of anantam also. So we have seen the two types of anantam. One is the space limitation, it is space-wise anantam, time limitation, kalataha also. But now he is talking about a third anantam also here, vastutaha anantam also. Now we should understand what does this vastu means here. Normally, any object has got three types of limitation. If you take any object, they all have three types of limitation. One is the space limitation. For example, if I am here, I cannot be there also. So there is a space limitation for me. I can be only in one place. I cannot be in another place. And time limitation also. For example, I have a date of birth, and there is going to be a date of death also someday. So there is a time-wise limitation also. And Shankaracharya says, there is a third limitation called vastu paricheda or guna paricheda, property wise limitation. Guna paricheda or vastu paricheda means property wise limitation. And what is that? For example, if I am a human being by character, by my features. I am called a human being by my character, by my features. So by being a human being, what does it mean? Automatically, it excludes all other features. By being a human being, it automatically excludes all other features. That is, if I am a man, then I cannot be a woman. I cannot be an animal. I cannot be a bird, a plant, a table, or a chair, or anything else. If I am a man, I am only a man. So, manushyatvam is a limitation. Same also the case for a person, depending on what country he comes from. It's an Indian. He cannot be Indian. He cannot be American. He cannot be all simultaneous. It's not possible. So Indian, American, all those things again have limitations. Same for a Brahmana. He cannot be a Kshatriya. He cannot be a Vaishya. Same for a Balaha. For Bala, young boy, young child. So he cannot be Kumara. He cannot be Yuva. He cannot be a Vriddha. Same for a tall person. He cannot be short. Same for a fair. All those things, so tall, fair, any of the qualities, if one would take, to have certain property means to have some limitation. To have any property for that matter means there should be some limitation. even goodness in a person is a limitation. Automatically, it will exclude badness. That is a limitation too. Same thing like punyatvam. Person did lot of punya. That is also a limitation because it excludes papatvam. That is why they say that the Lord should not have any property at all. The moment you give any property to the Lord, that means you are limiting the Lord. People feel like putting noble properties on Lord. Ananta Kalyana Guna Kanega Nilayaha. What they want to call the Lord as embodiment of love, embodiment of strength, all those great qualities. But Vedanta is not at all happy with that definition at all, because the moment we put certain qualities, automatically it excludes others. Till somebody's speaker or phone is on, it has to go to mute mode, please. This is called Vastu Parichedaha, another name for Ananta. So Ananta means it should be free from Vastu Paricheda also. Vastu Paricheda means the property wise limitation also. So we'll have no properties at all. It should be Nirgunam Brahman. It should be Brahman without any attributes, which have no properties at all. Now, is that Brahman, is it knower, is known or object of knowledge? If somebody asks the question, is that Brahman, is it knower or is it known or is it object of knowledge? That is the Brahman is Pramata, Pramana or Prameya? If Pramata the knower, then what it would mean? It will automatically exclude the other two. And so on, for if it is a Prameya also, it will automatically exclude the other two. So there will be exclusivity if only one is taken. So Brahman should not be any of these also. It cannot be Pramatra, it cannot be Pramana, it cannot be Prameya also. So that means what? Anantam means Desha, Kala, Vastu Paricheda Rahitam or Shunya. Vastu Paricheda, Desha, Kala, Vastu Paricheda Shunya. Actually, the entire thing is one word. Or in English, we can call it as all pervading to denote Deshataha and eternal for Kalataha and Vastu, you call it propertyless. Or in Sanskrit, we can say Sarvagatam. All pervading is Sarvagatam, eternal Nityam, and propertyless Nirgunam. All three in one word, Ananta. So when we say Anantam, we mean all these three, Sarvagatam, Nityam, Nirgunam. And what is its nature? Satchit. That's what we said earlier. Its nature is Sat Chit. Existence, consciousness, principle, awareness, principle. So Sarvagata, Nitya, Nirguna, Satchit Swarupam, Brahma. So that becomes the definition. So that is how we derived the definition of our Brahma as Sarvagata, Nitya, Nirguna, Satchit Swarupaha, Brahma. So with this Brahma Lakshanam, the definition of Brahman topic is over. So first question was what is that Brahman? For that we went through this discussion and the Brahma Lakshanam, that definition topic is completed now. Now the second question among the three questions that we raised in the last webinar, the second question was what? Katam Tasya Vedanam. How to know that Brahman? What is the second question? That's the second question. Actually, really speaking, the question itself is wrong. Why? The moment one says that Brahman can be known, then what it becomes? It becomes an object. The moment you say Brahman can be known, Brahman becomes an object. And the inquirer who inquires about this, the Pramata, again, Parichinnam, has limitation. So Brahman is one in which the Pramata, Pramana and Prameya, all three are resolved. Otherwise, each one of them will contribute to a limitation. So all the three of them will be resolved. That is, it is the very substratum, or in Sanskrit it's called the Adhishtanam, the very substratum of Pramatra, Pramana, Prameya, Vikalpa, Adhishtana, Bhutam. That is what the Brahman is. It is resolved. All these three things are resolved in Brahman. So the very moment one attempts to know Brahman, if I say I want to attempt to know Brahman, already the mistake is committed. the very attempt to know Brahman is an obstacle. Because you objectify that, it is an obstacle. So the teacher's job is what? Is not to give the knowledge of Brahman. Teacher's job is not to give the knowledge of Brahman, but to knock off the very attempt to know Brahman. Swamiji says clearly, it is the ability to knock off the very attempt to know Brahman. It is pointing out that Brahman does not come in the field of knowledge, vyavahara. Brahman does not come in the field of knowledge, vyavahara, because it is the adhishtanam of all knowledge, vyavaharas. All knowledge transactions, whatever. Then the question will be what? If we say that it is the adhishtanam, the substratum of pramata, pramana, prameya, and also it cannot be known, if we say these statements, then what is the guarantee that such a thing really exists? Because we say it cannot be known, and it is the adhishtanam of pramana, pramata, and prameya, then how? What is the guarantee that it exists? We cannot know. We can need not know also, at the same time, it is not absent. That is what Vedanta says. We cannot know that, we need not know also, and it is not absent also, because it is the subject, it is yourself. And what type of yourself? Not yourself as the knower, not yourself as the pramata, but yourself after the resolution of the pramatra, pramana and prameya. After the resolution of this tripudi, after these three things resolve, whatever is there, that is Brahman. So I minus pramatra, pramana, prameya, vivaharas, the transactions, I minus all three am Brahman. So I with transactions become pramatra, pramana, prameya, the very same I minus vivaharas is Brahman. So neither the knower, nor the known, nor the knowing instrument, aham Brahma asmi. That is what Vedanta teaches us. Neither the knower, nor the known, nor the knowing instrument, nor the process of knowledge, whichever, aham Brahma asmi. Therefore, I am Brahman. I cannot and need not know Brahman. I am Brahman. I should not attempt to know Brahman, because I am Brahman. We need not attempt to experience it at all also, because everyone experiences it daily, unconsciously. We are all experiencing it every day. What is that? In Sushupti or in Samadhi state, among the three avasthas, in the wakeful state, Jagrat, then Swapna state, dream state, and also Sushupti, deep sleep state or Samadhi state, am I knower? No pramana, no prameya also. So I do experience in the Sushupti, in the deep sleep state, the Advaita Anubhava every time. The Advaita Anubhava, I experience every time when I have deep sleep and all I resolve in the mind. That's what it does. I do experience that Advaita Anubhava every time I resolve the mind. Even in the Jagrat Avastha, even in the wakeful state, in the moment of blankness, sometimes we say we go blank. In a moment of blankness, I am Advaitam only. There also, I am in the Advaitam state only. Therefore, we are not lacking that experience at all. Nobody can say, I never had Advaita experience. We have it every day, day in and day out. When we have deep sleep, we always have it. Therefore, we are not lacking in that experience at all. So what is required is owning up that I am Brahman. So we have experienced it, we are experiencing it every day, but what we don't do is we do not own up that I am Brahman. That is the I, means that means what? The I without all vyavaharas, without all these transactions. So this avyavaharam, I as Brahman, I don't own up. So Advaita Anubhava is not a problem. The experience of having Advaita Anubhava, that is not at all a problem, but Advaita Jnanam alone is the problem. Advaita Jnanam alone is the problem. The knowledge of Advaita, that is a problem. That is, Advaitam I am is the knowledge, that alone is a problem. Advaitam I am is that knowledge, that is the problem. And to get that knowledge, what is required now? To get the knowledge, first is pramatha, the knower. For example, the sushupti and samadhi are both useless at all for me because for knowledge, because in both pramatha is absent. For a pramatha, for a person who is, because the knowledge, for to gain that knowledge, what is required is first pramatha. That should be the person who inquires about it, who wants to know. He should be available. And for him, in the three states, in the jagrat, the wakeful state and the dream state and the deep sleep state and also samadhi, they both are useless for knowledge because in both, the knower is absent because he is in deep state. He is not aware of anything. And so, jnanam cannot take place in both these states. Knowledge cannot come in both these states. So, it has to be gained only in the jagrat avastha, in the wakeful state, or in the swapna avastha, in the dream state. Again, swapna avastha is useless because of what? We have no control on the swapna avastha at all. Because we have no control on that. So, that is also useless. Therefore, the parisesha nyayena, there is a parisesha nyaya, through that, jnanam has to be acquired only in jagrat avastha, in the wakeful state. Only wakeful state alone one can gain jnanam. Through what? Through shravanam, through mananam, through nididhyasanam. One has to go through all these various exercises to gain jnanam in the wakeful state. And what is that jnanam? Aham, Brahma, Asmi, iti jnanam. That is the knowledge one has to gain. Then the question will be, who says Aham Brahmasmi? Who is the person who says Aham Brahmasmi? Does Brahman say or Pramata says? Who says that? Pramata means the knower or the jnata. Does he say? Brahman cannot say because Brahman has no attributes. Brahman has no guna. Brahman has no rupam, no attributes. So Brahman itself cannot say that. So only the Pramata or the jnata, he has to only say Aham Brahmasmi. Then what would be the question? How the knower say, I am Brahman? He should say, I am knower only. Because the knower should say, I am knower only. He cannot say, I am Brahman. What is Brahman? Brahman is the adhishtanam in which the pramatra, prameya, pramana is resolved. And now, how that limited pramata, because we already say it's paricheda, how that limited pramata, the parichinnam pramatra, can say Aham Brahmasmi? How can he say at the limited Pramata? How can he say I am the limitless Brahman? So we say Pramata alone say Aham Brahmasmi, and when he says Aham, so when he uses the word Aham, he understands the meaning of that Aham properly. That is what we should understand. When he says, even though he is limited, when he says he is Aham Brahmasmi, when he uses the word Aham, I, he understands the meaning of proper, the meaning properly. So when he says Aham, he does not take the Pramata himself, the knower himself. He clearly knows that I am now talking as Pramata. And as Pramata, I am limited. And I am different from Prameya and Pramana also. And as a Pramata, I cannot say Aham Brahmasmi. He knows that very well. So this Pramatrutvam, this knower vyavahara, this transaction, knower transaction, talking vyavahara, all this doing, whatever action we are doing, that vyavahara, they are all my temporary attributes. He understands that clearly. And when I drop these temporary attributes, or without these temporary attributes, when I am not a talker, when I am not a walker, when I am not a knower, all these transactions, when they are all gone, I am Brahman. That is, when I drop all these vyavaharas, vyavaharika eyes, I am doing this, I am doing that, they are called vyavaharika eyes. When I drop all that, I am the paramarthika eye. So when I drop the vyavaharika eye, I become the paramarthika eye. That time, I won't even say, I am Paramarthika I also. When I drop that, when I am the Paramarthika I won't even say I am Paramarthika I also, which is my original nature. And with this role of Pramata, with this role of knower or doer or whatever it is, I only am a role player. I play the role of that function. Vyavaharika dress I am wearing. And wearing this dress, I claim my original nature as Brahman. That is what the Jnani does. Wearing this Vyavaharika dress, transacting everything in the world, whatever he has to do, he is always aware. He knows his, he claims his original nature. So Pramatra, Pramana, Prameya, Vilakshana. So he understands his original nature while transaction, while carrying through any transaction in whatever media he is in. And this knowledge is gained by Pramata, by the Pramata only, and in Jagrat Avastha, when he is in the wakeful state. So this has to be known by the knower only in the wakeful state by study of the scriptures. And through a guru, this person can gain this knowledge. And when we say Aham Brahma Asmi, the Pramata I or Aham is the Vachyartham and the Adhishtanam I is the Lakshyartham. This also we have to know clearly. When we say Aham Brahma Asmi, the Pramata I, the knower I or Aham is the Vachyartham and the Adhishtanam I is the Lakshyartham. And this knowledge, this very knowledge gives liberation or moksha, and not just the anubhava. Experience of Advaita Anubhava every day we have, but that does not give us moksha. Only this knowledge, that alone gives us liberation. If Advaita Anubhava, if it has to give liberation to anyone, Sangharacharya says actually, then Sushupti, Samadhi, Murcha. Murcha also includes. Murcha means fainting. We can say coma condition, somebody is, you know, fainting condition, so Murcha. So they all also should give jnana. They also should give moksha. Pralaya also should give, where everything is resolved at the time of pralaya. Everything is resolved, that also should give moksha. So what is required is Advaita knowledge, which gives liberation. So the Upanishad says, Yaha Veda, the one who knows Brahman, where Nihitam Guhayam, Yo Veda Nihitam Guhayam Paramevyo Vanna. Yaha Veda. Yo Veda means Yaha Veda. The one who knows Brahman. Where? Nihitam Guhayam. As residing in the Antakaranam. Guha. Guha means here mind. Mind is the Antakaranam. Antakaranam means, I have told earlier, it is the inner equipment. In the Antakaranam, that person who knows this, he will be liberated. Which actually he will say later. So this person who, so guha literally means a cave. So just as guha, a cave is dark, antakaranam also is dark. The inner equipment mind is also dark because of what? With ignorance. It is dark with ignorance. And because of this darkness, whatever is present in the guha, in the cave, it is not recognized. Because of this darkness of ignorance, it is not recognized. Similarly, Brahman is the Antakaranam Guha as the Chit Swarupa. Brahman is in the Antakaranam Guha as Chit Swarupa, as the awareness principle, when there are thoughts or no thoughts. So this is called Pratibodha Viditam. It is not, but not recognized. It is present there, but it is not recognized. But one may wonder then, how can Brahman be there only in the Antakaranam when it is supposed to be all-pervading? Because we said, Brahman is all-pervading. Our definition was all-pervading, eternal, existence, awareness principle. That's what we said earlier. So if it is all-pervading, how Brahman can be there only in the Antakarana mind, in the inner equipment? We should now remember that Brahman pervades through all as Satrupam, as the existence principle, but as Chitrupam, it obtains in the Antakarana. We have to understand that as Sat principle, as existence principle, Brahman pervades through all pervading, but as Chitrupam, it obtains in the Antakarana. Because Satrupam is manifest in all Namarupas. Satrupam in any form, name, the existence principle is available in all of them. And Chitrupam, the awareness principle, is manifest along with only thoughts or along with vrittis in the mind. So the awareness principle is manifest along with thoughts only in the mind. In other places, it is in unmanifest form. As we said earlier, it is not absent, it is in unmanifest form, whereas Sat can be recognized all over. The existence principle can be recognized all over, whereas the awareness principle can be recognized only when it is a manifest form. So, yaha tad brahman chaitanya rupena antakarane veda. One who knows that Brahman as the pure awareness in the mind, in the antakarana, in the inner equipment, as the very I, the chaitanyam, prajnanam brahma iti. So, like I, the very I, the chaitanyam, that's available in that awareness principle. Now the Upanishad says, Parame Vyoman, again, in the mind, in the supreme space. Vyoman means space. And Parame means supreme space. In the supreme space of the mind. And why supreme space again? Because it is a space where Chaitanyam is available. It is a space where Chaitanyam is available. And so it is said to be supreme space. It's a simple thing. So, Brahmanaha, actually, Brahmana Puratvad, it is said, because it is the Pramam. It is the Paramam. It is Paramam because Brahman is supreme. So, supreme is Brahman is present there, so it becomes supreme space. And so, what is the final meaning now we have got so far? One should know that Brahman in the supreme space of the mind has I, the awareness, the Chit Rupa. That's how we should understand that Brahman is in the supreme space of the mind, has I, the awareness principle, the Chitrupa. So, as I, rid of the knower, hearer, pramata, all those transactions, as I, the rid of all those functions, Shuddha Chaitanyam I, Aham Brahma Asmi. So, that Shuddha Chaitanyam I, Aham Brahma Asmi. So, this much is the discussion now for the second question that we raised, Katam Brahma Vedanam, how do you know Brahman? So, not only I am the Chit in the Antakarana, in the mind, but also the Sat in the whole creation. So, that is the understanding for both this, for the second question, Katam Brahma Vedanam. Now, we will go to the third question, Kim Tat Paraprapti Palam. That is the third question we raised. What is Paraprapti? Getting the infinite, getting moksha, getting the infinite. What do we mean by that? Getting paraprapti. That is given actually in the next two sentences. Soho shnute sarvan kama ansaha brahmana vipaschita. Vipaschite iti, it is there. The iti is quotation. So, brahmana vipaschita. So, saha. Saha means that wise man, that jnani, that wise person who had recognized Brahman as the I. Yaha Brahmavida. Saha Brahmavida actually. Ashnute. That person attains. Prapnoti ityartaha. He attains. What he attains? Sarvan kaman. Soho shnute sarvan kaman saha. Sarvan kaman. All the desirable objects of the world he attains. So this person who knows like this, this Brahmavida, he attains all desirable objects of the world. Sarvan kama. Here kama does not mean desire. Generally, we translate kama as desire. That is the popular meaning. But it is the desired objects. Kamyate iti kamya. So, karma vittutti. So, all kamya vishayas, sense objects of pleasure. Kamya vishayas means sense objects of pleasure are all called kama here. All the sense objects of pleasure. They are all called here kamya, kama. So whether it is a beautiful shabda we hear, or a cool touch, or a fragrant smell, or a wonderful form, or a good taste, a wonderful feeling, all are kamas. They are all kamas only. And there are infinite number of kamas for a person. Person can think of so many varieties of kamas. And all those pleasurable objects, sarvan kaman ashnute, this person attains, this wise person, he attains all those pleasurable, likable objects. The jnani or the brahmavid, he attains all of them. Not only that, the Upanishad goes one step further also and says, saha simultaneously. He gets them all, so ashnute, sarvan kaman saha. Saha means simultaneously he gets all of them. Natu kramena parantu satyaha akramanena. Akramena. Because not he is not getting it by in one after the other, by a krama. But he is getting them all simultaneously. So if we take, for example, the vachyatam of this statement, the actual literal meaning of this statement, it looks impossible and it looks funny also. How is it possible for a person to acquire all pleasurable objects simultaneously? It also looks illogical. For example, if you assume two pleasures, for example, the bhuloka sukham and also the swarloka sukham, when I'm existing in this bhuloka, in this earth, in this loka, I have this sukham. And after death, somebody gets to swargaloka. That is swarloka sukham also is there. Swargal. They both cannot be attained together. Only when I am in bhuloka, I can experience this sukham. But I cannot experience the swarloka sukham when I am here. So they cannot be simultaneously acquired at all. For example, again, the pleasure of travel. Somebody travels. The pleasure of travel cannot be simultaneously acquired at rest. When I am resting, I cannot experience the pleasure of travel. Not only that, even if we have a plate full of variety of dishes. In India, they put a very big banana leaf and serve so many items, 32 course, 40 course, whatever number. They put so many things. They serve all of them. It is impossible for anybody to enjoy all of them simultaneously at all. So we cannot take this statement literally. And we add actually one word. So we say that jnani attains all objects of pleasures as it were. Iva. Iva in Sanskrit. As it were. Like that. Then what does it mean? When one acquires an object of pleasure, what happens in his mind? There is a sense of tripti. There is a sense of fulfillment in his mind. Or we can call it purnatva. He has a sense of purnatvam or ananda. Now, jnani gets all the objects of pleasure means what? Whatever sense of fulfillment these objects can give, the same sense of fulfillment the jnani acquires by merely getting this knowledge. By merely getting this knowledge, the jnani gets the same extent of fulfillment as somebody would get all these objects of pleasure simultaneously. He may be a sannyasi. He might not know what is the ananda of getting a child. But by jnanam, whatever ananda a father will get through a child, the same ananda this sannyasi also can get through jnanam. Similar for other kinds of pleasures also. Therefore, it is as good as fulfilling all pleasures. That means what? He gets total sense of fulfillment called purnatvam. That is the phalam. That is the benefit of this knowledge. Aham purnaha asmi. That is what the jnani says. He doesn't lack anything. Sarvan kaman saha means purnatvam. That is the phalam. That is the benefit of this knowledge. Now if we can look at it also from another angle. When an object of desire is acquired, what is the benefit he gets? Till the object of desire is acquired, in his mind, there is this constant bug, for example. We can say it's a constant bug. I want this object. I want this object all the time. The desire bug that is there in his mind, that is bugging him all the time. And what happens when he acquires this object? The bug of desire, that is removed, that disappears. The bug of desire is gone. That means when we acquire a particular object, it is equivalent to removal of the desire for that object. When we acquire an object, it is equivalent to the removal of the desire for that object. Therefore, when one acquires all things, sarva kama praptihi, when he gets all the things, that means what? Removal of all desires, sarva kama nivrittihi. So that means removal of all desires, they are gone. So a jnani acquires everything means jnani becomes free from all desires. That's what it means. When he acquires all things means he becomes free from all desires. He acquires everything means he becomes free from all desires. And now the question may be, how a jnani can remove all his desires without acquiring any object? He has not acquired any object whatsoever. How can he remove all his desires without acquiring any of them? We say desires can be fulfilled or removed in two different ways. Any desire can be filled or fulfilled or removed in two different ways. First method is what is the, you know, you fulfill the desire. Actually, this is called the unintelligent method. For example, this is, he is saying one can do the beg, borrow, steal principle. And to get this vishaya, whatever vishaya prapti one needs, a person can go through any of these techniques to get that, accomplish that. Why we call this an unintelligent method? Because the desires are too many. And if all of them have to be fulfilled, what one has to do? One has to be working all the time, should do more and more work, will have more tension, more competition, more price, so many things follow. So all these negative things are going to be there when somebody tries to fulfill each and every one of one's desires. Any ordinary man knows that this method only is applicable to him. Many people think that way, and we cannot blame him also. Whereas Vedanta suggests another method. It is a very intelligent method and a short method, shortcut method also, which does not remove desire after all. So, which does not desire after desire is in some order by removing one desire after the other. It doesn't do that. But what it does, it removes all of them simultaneously. The Vedantic method tries to remove all these desires simultaneously. And how to do it? Instead of trying to fulfill the desire, it questions the very root cause of the desire. Vedanta, instead of attempting to fulfill each one of the desires, it questions the root cause of the desire. So not just any desire, but all desires. Not just any desire. The root cause is not different from this desire to that desire. For all the desires, for artha, kama, etc., why it came? Why this desire for artha, for material wealth came? Why this desire came for this object? The desire came because I have a sense of apurnatvam. I have a sense of limitation, sense of incompleteness, sense of finitude. This is called parichinnatvam. I have that sense. And this person feels that life will be complete. Life will be complete only when this desire is fulfilled. So parichinnatvam itself is because of ajnanam or ignorance. So this limitation itself is because of ignorance. Why? Our swarupam is satyam jnanam anantam brahma. That's what Upanishad says. Our swarupam, our nature is satyam jnanam anantam brahma. So even though my swarupam is aparichinnam, is not limited, aparichinnam brahma, because of ignorance, because of ajnanam, I feel limitation. I am not limited, but I feel limitation. It is a feeling. It is like a sensation. Actually, Swamiji says that as, it is a notion. It is a notion of limitation. I feel I am limited. It's a notion. So the root cause of kama, the root cause of all these desires, all kinds of desires, whether it is spiritual desire, whether it is a material desire, whatever may be the desire, is the root cause is only ajnanam or ignorance. So even the desire to reach Lord, I have a desire, yes, desire to reach Lord, even that is considered to be ajnanam. It's also because of ajnanam only, ignorance. The moment ajnanam is removed, that means, but how it can be removed? By acquiring jnanam only. By gaining jnanam, ajnanam can be removed. Then the sense of limitation also will be gone. The moment jnanam comes, the awareness comes, sense of limitation also is gone. The gone knowledge comes, limitation goes away. So along with limitation, all incompleteness also will go away. Even the whole society may say, I am a fool. Because they may say, oh, this guy doesn't know the world. He doesn't know how to survive in this world. All those, he doesn't have this, he doesn't have that. All that people may say. even though they may call me a fool, I feel I am ever full. I may need some basic things to sustain this body, to maintain this body, I may need basic things. That is okay. But I am full. Kaupinavantaha, kalu bhagyavantaha. That is what Acharya says. This person doesn't have anything except a kaupinam only. But bhagyavantaha, he doesn't have any desire. He is not bound by the fetters of desire at all. He is a free person, ever free. So when all desires are gone, it is as good as acquiring all of them. That's what here it means. So we say, Jnani is free up from desires. He is free from all desires, not by fulfilling them, but by rooting out the cause of these desires. By just removing the cause of all these desires, the Jnani, he is free from all desires. That is why in the second method, all desires are simultaneously rooted out. It is not one by one. They are all rooted simultaneously, whereas in the first method, it is one after the other. You can fulfill one desire after the other in that method. So, Saha Ashnute Sarvan Kama. And how did he manage that? The Upanishad itself says, Brahmana Vipaschita. How this Jnani accomplished it? It's because of Brahmana Vipaschita, by being the Purnam Brahma. Here, Brahmana is actually, it's called in grammar, it is called Sambhuda Lakshane Tritiya Vibhakti. So, as Brahman, by being Purnam Brahman, he is free from all desires. Purnatvam and desire cannot go together. If somebody has desires, he is not Purnaha. So, Purnatvam and desire cannot go together for this person, for any person. So, this Jnani, he fulfills all his desires, means he is free from all desires. By being Brahman, by recognizing that I am Brahman, why should I desire anything at all? And again, what type of Brahman it is? Vipaschita. Here, vipaschit means omniscient or all-knowing. We can say sarva-shaktiman, a person who is omniscient, sarvajnaha. By being omniscient, all-knowing Brahman, this person fulfills all desires as it were. He is not fulfilling them in literal sense, as it were he fulfills. That means he enjoys Purnatva. That does not mean he should be smiling all the time. We should not immediately imagine, oh, this Purnatvam Jnani should be sitting in a place and smiling all the time. Then we may call him perhaps a nut. That means he, by being omniscient, all-knowing Brahman, he fulfills all desires as it were and enjoys Purnatva. So this is called Brahmananda Prapti, Brahmananda or Paraprapti. Under no situation, this person will miss anything at all. So, iti, when we said Brahmana Vipaschite iti, that iti, that should be connected with Tadesha, Tatu Yesha, Abhyukta, where we began. We began. Brahma Vidha Apnoti Param, Tadesha Abhyukta. To that Tadesha Abhyukta, we have to connect this iti. That will mean the end of this quotation. So, this Rig Mantra quotation is over, and the three questions of the first statement is answered. All the three questions that we raise, Kim Tad Brahma and Katam Tasya Vedanam, and also what is this Prapti, the Paraprapti, all these three questions have been answered. So the first statement, again a small detail, the first statement is called Sankshepa Vakyam, Brahmavit Apnoti Param. That statement is called Sankshepa Vakyam, or a nutshell statement, a statement in a nutshell, and this quotation, the Satyam Jnanam Anandam Brahma up to Vipaschita, that quotation is called Vritti Grantha. That is, it's a minor commentary. It is like an explanation, minor commentary upon the first statement, as we said in the last webinar itself. It is like a minor commentary. So now the rest of the Upanishad is only an elaboration of these ideas only. The entire Upanishad, the rest of the portion, is going to concentrate on the elaboration of this one idea. And we will see further of these things in more detail in from the next webinar. And before I conclude, I want to also let you know that the next